Blog Talk Radio.
We welcome you to Identity Theft of the Self. Do call in with your questions, comments, concerns at 845-277-9406. Call in to Identity Theft of the Self with John Warren and Ellen Hartwell at 845-277-9406. Let's discover together what is the self. How do we use that inner unencumbered self to create the reality we desire? Call in, share your experience, 845-277-9406. And again, we welcome you to Identity Theft of the Self. Hello, 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 hello. Warning to our listeners. This is a warning. I hope you're listening. John and I have been in the green room and have been being rather ridiculous. And that's a good thing. Hi, John. How are you?
I'm really good. How dare you call me ridiculous? I don't think I'm ridiculous.
Oh,
I was sharing my deep and abiding thoughts about
okay.
The importance of warm towels and toast and other things.
I need to get my boots because it's getting very deep around here. But anyway, So here we are on Identity Theft of the Self. And today we're going to be talking about the importance of gratitude in the manifestation process. And it's rather apropos because Thanksgiving is this coming Thursday here in the United States. And so we want to talk about what we're thankful for. But before we get into the of being thankful and using gratitude, we want to have a little overview here of what we've talked about so far. We've talked about grace and joy and the fall from grace and how to be centered and at peace even when there's insanity and terror and tragedy around the world vis-a-vis Paris, and we cry for our brothers and sisters and we wonder, okay, we really are going to heck in a hat box here, aren't we? And then we kind of stop and we go, well, yeah, that's true. On the other hand, there's a bigger truth, a larger truth that does not ever affect my joy because I'm in grace. What is grace to me? I'm in grace because I have an intimate relationship with the God of my understanding, and I have a sense of joy because of that intimate and very real to me relationship with God. And so these things can happen, and it doesn't mean I don't have feelings about it and can't lose my cool for a moment until I hear myself and get back on track, because I do and I can, sometimes more gracefully and rapidly than others, but I do. And I have a steady sense of the presence of God. Now, we discussed this earlier, John, but I'm just going to use the word God. I can't go through the list. So if it's Buddha or Muhammad or Vishnu or universe or your toenails, that's fine. I don't care. It's all one God to me. God has many faces, many paths to God, but one God. And John does laugh at me, but see, I just talk right over it. I ignore it because no one, nothing is going to take away my joy. So as we look at the unencumbered self, the self that has had no identity theft involved, we have peace, we have gratitude, we have joy, and we have a sense of excitement about each day. We don't wake up and go, oh God, another day to get through. We go, oh wow, look at all I have to be grateful for. I'm excited. What am I going to create today? Well, you, ladies and gentlemen, including myself, aren't going to create anything until we really get to the authentic self, which is not tied into what everybody thinks. Some people call that race mind consciousness, what the neighbors think, what the politicians are saying, what's going on in the world, and what your parents taught you, and what your best friend says to you. No, no, no. Who are you, and what do you choose to express today? And as you really get a hold of that, guess what? things start to happen. And we get a little silly and we get a lot joyful and we're not quite so encumbered by, oh my God, I'm live on the air and I'm saying, if you call God toenails, that's okay with me. Well, it is okay with me. And that is who I am. I am a little outrageous. I hope I'm not disrespectful, but I am a little outrageous. And I love that because that is fuel for my thankfulness. In my authentic self, I'm always grateful. Now, do I experience that every minute of every day? No. However, it is a goal to be thankful even for things that with the eyes of the flesh look negative. You can say, okay, there's got to be some good in here. Let me see if I can just take a moment and find the good. And in the most horrific circumstances, we can find good if we're willing to look for that good. So we're going through all this rapidly because we have a lot to talk about today about thankfulness and how thankfulness is an expression that does not come from our conscious mind. It comes from that deep, small, still voice within God, Spirit, Universe, the list. And from there is a true gratitude. Okay, John, so we do have a caller waiting, but go ahead. Have your riff about thankfulness.
I need my riff about your riff, actually.
Okay, you can riff off my riff, and then we'll...
Did you say, the caller left,
yeah.
You scared them off.
I did not. You did.
come back, caller. We want to talk to you. But in the interim, I will say... The other thing, and I was going to come around to this, Ellen, is that the topic today is gratitude and thankfulness, and it's great. It's obviously the right topic for this week. We'll probably touch on it again next week. Is that just in the baseline, if you are tuning into this show to learn more about manifesting and demonstrating and the law of attraction in your life, gratitude's really helpful. Another thing I would say to you is just to be clear, it's another one of those things is I think you can fake it until you make it. And that there's a reason why gratitude lists became so popular over the last 20 years or so is because people are like, I got to think about this. I'm so out of practice with this that I got to sit down and make a list. I got to think, oh, yeah, there's that. And then if you keep going with those as an exercise with those lists, you actually do become grateful for the craziest things like – I'm actually really grateful for my refrigerator magnets and because I like them. And, I mean, it sounds crazy. I mean, obviously the big stuff, my health, you know, food, water, my husband, my wife, my, you know, there's all this big stuff, my friends, air conditioning in the summer. It could go on forever. But then you sort of burrow down, and then you can actually look back on the other stuff, too, in the past and go, oh, actually, I'm glad that relationship blew up. In my face, because at the time I was miserable, but now in retrospect I can go, oh, I'm grateful that relationship ended, or you know, this, that, and the other thing, fill in the blank. Is that the thing about this practice, Ellen, is that it works. It will grease the wheels of your manifestation if you can stay there. And even if you have to fake it to get there at first, I mean, is that it's helpful. I mean, keep going back to it. And also the other thing about this is actually not Sunday school. We're not talking about Sunday school here. You want to get better at this thing called life? Practice this. Practice gratitude. Practice gratitude. I look at my flip-flops right now. I'm grateful that I love them. They're very comfortable. I'm grateful for that. Staying in that state, again, raises your vibration, makes the manifestations happen more readily and more easily and more true. It is more true. And they become more about your authentic self because gratitude, whether it comes from the inside out or you have to fake it till you make it, and it comes from the outside in, and if you don't feel grateful for anything, you have no idea what we're talking about, just make a list and put two things on it a day. That's the practice. I am grateful for it. If you don't know what you're grateful for, go, okay, the sun. Start with that, the sun. I could be grateful for that. Yeah, okay. It grows food. It keeps me warm. And start there, and you begin to raise your vibration, and the manifestations start happening and flowing more readily. And it just makes you feel good, too, which is why when your vibration is higher, you feel better. So I have to say, but I always want to hammer back at that point is like, also it works. Also, it's useful. It's a really useful practice.
Well, and as you said, and I agree with you 100%, we don't do this because it raises our vibration, or we can, oh, I'm very spiritual. No, we do it because we want something. And to get what you want, you do this, and there's nothing wrong with that. God gave us these tools to investigate, to learn how to use appropriately. And as we learn together how to use them, we're creating a life that we enjoy and we like, and every day is more rich, more deep, more beautiful. And we can have great gratitude for all of that. But it's not some high hoity-toity, oh, I'm so spiritual. No, it's I'm practicing this because I want something, and in that wanting, and then I turn it into a having, and then I have so much gratitude for even the smallest thing. Because why? Because I know God is the great multiplier. And if I am thankful that I have a bed to sleep in, or a cardboard box to sleep in, or that I have a home, or I have a car, or I have good friends, whatever it is, or the sun, as you say, John, then that gets multiplied, and we start finding that we have more things to be grateful for. And I've had people say, oh, you're such a Pollyanna. No, I'm not. I'm truly not. But I believe that religious science works, and I use it to the very best of my ability. And because I'm willing to be willing, things multiply. I'm more willing today than I was yesterday. I'm more willing to let go of what doesn't work and investigate what does work than I've ever been in my life. And it's liberating, and it's fun. And is it challenging? Yes. But it gets less challenging as we keep practice, practice, practice. Don't you think, John? Tell me in 1 minute.
Well, I do.
3 minutes.
1 minute. I have 3 minutes. I have a clock. Don't try and cut me off. I want to know what you're up to.
Listen, you're being a brat, and I'm going to have to ask you to go in the corner if you can't behave.
I can't behave, but I'm not going in the corner either. Things I want to add to that. I'm going to stay on that. You know, sort of burrow into the gratitude thing is. All of the trappings. The other thing that you can, it's worth wanting. We say wanting things. We're doing this because we want things. More things if you want less things. If your life is cluttered, the same stuff will work. And it's actually one thing that you want. What you can want also is, frankly, is a more spiritual life. There's actually, wanting to become expansive and enlightened is a desire. And so this applies to that too. I'm not saying that we should all be about going to the god of the ATM machine and just give me stuff. But starting with, putting your secret, tell me the secret passcode and then I'll get a bunch of stuff. That's actually not that at all. It's just an evolution of consciousness. And one element that will help you to evolve your consciousness, help me to evolve my consciousness. And believe me, it is a practice. Let me tell you, I am in a city, in a world where getting off base is actually pretty easy to do. The world, I keep coming back to this, the world out there is loud, and it will do everything if you want it, if you allow it. If you do not develop your inner life and inner connection through the tools that we're talking about, including gratitude, the world will actually become, it will take over. It is very loud. It will take your attention, and you and I and everybody else will be subsumed in it. I am regularly subsumed in it, and then I bring myself back and reboot, recharge. And one of the ways to do that is to sit down and just be grateful. I want this, fill in the blank, fill in the blank. Okay, well, I'll start with where I am. And where I am is I'll start in a place of gratitude. I'm actually grateful for this. I am really grateful for example, my dog, who is a great companion, and fill in the blank, and the vibration of that will raise you, your vibration will raise, and things will manifest more quickly and more truly. I'm repeating myself, but the upshot is, and it's really important, one of the things that you can want is a more centered, calm, and peaceful life. So we, Ellen, you and I are not just talking about demonstrating material stuff at all.
Oh, we're not?
And in fact, and I know there's a minute left here, and in fact, I will say, continue this practice, and in fact, And in fact, what you end up naturally gravitating towards seems to be two things in my experience. One is you need to share it with other people. I don't know what that's about, but it's just true. There needs to be some sort of teaching component that happens in everyone I've ever dealt with who's dealt with this for a period of time. The impulse is to share it. And the second thing is you do become more instinctively compassionate and enlightened. It's almost, even if what you're doing is, I want a Porsche, eventually you get when you really access the power that you're after, it does actually become expansive. It's why very wealthy people, honestly, very often, not always, but very often, always set aside 10% and are always given money away. It's not 100% true, but it's often the case because a level of compassion and spirituality does actually come with the practice of this. Does that make sense?
Of course it does. And yes, we do it to get things, but we also do it. We may start out doing it to get things, but we also start out because something triggered in us a need for peace. And we will talk more about this when we come right back after this brief commercial break. Maria and I offer twice-seen readings on my website, ellenhartwell.com. Click on the tab, order your reading, and Maria and I will read for you together. It sounds confusing, but actually there's a real flow to it. Maria gets her perspective, I get my perspective, and we get an in-depth, insightful view into whatever your questions are. Twice-seen readings are not only informative, they're fun. So talk to two clairvoyants today. Go to ellenhartwell.com and click on the twice-seen reading tab. 'Tis true, and we have a lot of fun with those twice-seen readings, too. I guarantee you that.
Ooh.
Here we are again at Identity Theft of the Self, and we're talking about the importance of gratitude, and I feel it comes up naturally. And that's why I believe, and I think you do too, John, although I won't speak for you because then you'll get all bratty on me, but I feel that if we just pick one
thing, and you'll get all lippy on me.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm interrupting you. Go ahead.
No, John, you would never interrupt me, would you?
Mm-mm.
See, he's sitting there silent. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a miracle. He's sitting there quiet. Mm. Okay, so anyway, as we give thanks for things, as we use these tools to manifest that which we want. If we start with, you know what, God dang it, I'm going to manifest $5 today. Not from my job, not from a gift, but it's just going to pop out of the sky in some way. And actually we do it, guess what? We get a little thrill from that. It's like, wow, okay. And then we grow from there, and there's a natural sense of, wait a minute, I have a power, an accountability, and a gratitude in me that is very strong. Yes, you do. And so we get it bit by bit by bit, and that's what makes it fun, but also all the spiritual components of this, I think, are naturally uncovered as we learn to manifest. I don't think we uncover that and then manifest. I think we do a few things and have a few results, and then we get closer to God. And therefore, that gratitude starts to bubble up. And pretty soon, if we practice, we see the good in things, and therefore, we can be thankful. And that thankfulness is one of the very important cornerstones of being able to create the reality that we desire. Yes, John?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. I mean, the only thing I would say in this part of the conversation that we're having here is that I don't know that this comes naturally. I'm not sure I agree that it comes naturally. It didn't come naturally. It doesn't feel like it comes naturally to me. Now, that may be because when I started in on this and sort of discovered, a spiritual way to evolve, that I was so far away from my authentic self that I couldn't recognize what was natural to me, and what was unnatural to me if it was on the broad side of a barn, painted on it. I just couldn't recognize that I was so far away from my authentic self. That may be the case. I do think that a state of grace is a kind of natural place for us to be. People living, listening to this, though, on a certain point, it's like, well, I don't feel gratitude naturally at all. I want to unpack that word a little bit and just say, again, if I have something to add here, it is that this is a tool that you can practice, and you may not even be good at it for a while, and it may not feel natural. Maybe that's what it is. It may not feel natural. It may be natural, but it may not feel natural. Like walking, it looks awkward when a toddler starts to walk. It's really very hard to do. But walking is actually a natural state. It ends up being a very easy and natural thing for a human to do. But once they get the hang of it, as a toddler, as it were, and once you get the hang of gratitude, you are in a place of it, you can stay in a place of it, a practice of it, again, life becomes easier and it sorts itself out. It sorts itself out with much more grace and ease as well. In other words, a lot of my disconnect and the disconnect of the people that I talk to is because they are far from their authentic self. And because they think, and this is what you left with in the last segment, we often, you're right, the impulse on this practice and when people start this practice of, I believe that my thoughts and my emotions and my focus is actually going to add up to something in my life, the results of art. When you start to get that, when you first get that piece of information and you start to practice this, it is often because there is something that isn't peaceful about your life, or almost always. I've never met anybody. Who is absolutely at peace, who just goes, I think I'm going to practice this spiritual discipline. Most people, they want something. And what it is, and I'll quote Abraham here, because Abraham says it best, is because, and they believe that thing will give them the feeling that they want. And the feeling is often peace or serenity or security, whatever it is. So, yes, no matter what, if I come, someone comes to me and says, I want to demonstrate a new car, there is something that car means in terms of the feelings. They believe they're going to have a certain feeling based on that car. And what gratitude can help us do is grease the wheels toward the feeling first, because, in fact, the thought and the feeling combine to bring the car. So yes, most people start this practice because they want a level of peace, but most people also don't know that. I didn't know it. I just wanted a job, and I wanted things. I wanted things in my life, and certain things I wanted. And then this idea was introduced to me that we are manifesting, or that we create our own realities with our feelings and our thoughts and our focus, what we're focused on. And then evidence started showing up exactly that. When I was becoming a religious science practitioner in training, Ellen, the first week of the thing, we had to demonstrate, I don't remember, I may have said this already, a certain amount of money, not from a normal source. It didn't matter where it came from, but in other words, it had to be, say it was $20. I think it was actually just $10. A certain amount of money, $10, this week, between this class and the next class, not in your regular salary, not in your work. It had to come from somewhere else. And you just focus on it. You did treatment for it. $10 has shown up in my life. And it was a very interesting practice because I remember very distinctly where and how my $10 came from. Someone bought a ticket off of me for $10, but I had an extra ticket. And I didn't expect it. I was surprised that it happened. It was 4 days after the class. Da, 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 da. I was like, oh, there's my $10. That actually happened. Stuff like that. Then you start to practice and evolve into other things. I wish someone had told me sooner that if you stay in a state of gratitude for what you have now, even if it feels like it's next to nothing, you will go to the head of the class much more quickly. Mm. You will. And pay attention. We have so much media coming at us all the time. Pay attention to the people that you admire and see, or have people that have accomplished what you think you want in your life. And you will see often, and I've heard people do it all the time. This means people don't have other character defects and they aren't working on other stuff. But Google Oprah gratitude, those two words, and see what comes up. Because she was a weather reporter at a small radio, or a mid-market radio station. And Oprah and gratitude, and you will see people who have keys to demonstration or feel as if they demonstrate a lot of certain things often begin with gratitude.
Well, yeah, because they have learned or stumbled across or studied or whatever, knowing that there is something, a source, spirit, God, whatever, that is within them, and that power gets bigger, bigger, bigger when we give thanks, consciously give thanks. It's a conscious choice. Somewhere in the Bible it says the sacrifice of our praise. And so take a minute to give thanks. Take a minute. Sacrifice, you know, that video game for 5 seconds or that TV show, not this radio show, of course, but anything else, and just... You know, take a few minutes to consciously say thank you. Just thank you. Sometimes I don't even list out what I'm grateful for. I'm just, thank you. I could be here all day saying what I'm grateful for. And that, number one, it's good for your health. It's good for your soul. And it's good for your manifestation process. If we are not grateful, we are stuck. And I know this in my own life, and I've seen it in others, but it's my life that I have to manage. And so when I'm stuck on something, I can almost guarantee you that component is I'm not giving thanks for what I have right now. God being the great multiplier, if I give thanks for what I have right now, more will be added. But on a deeper level, there's a sense of, it may not look so good right now, but I'm grateful because it's all going to work out just fine. And I feel that that is so effective. I don't only feel it, I know it. And for me personally, gratitude, that conscious choice to be grateful even when outside of me things look a little dark or dim, that conscious choice to say, okay, thank you. I don't have to. It is not incumbent on me to understand the infinite, but it is incumbent on me to say thank you, even for the events and things that I cannot understand why, because when I'm thankful, even if I don't get it, but I still say thank you, that's an act of faith. And faith leads us to belief, and belief leads us to knowing. That's what I have to say about that, John.
Well, I agree. I think, for the most part, let's see, is that true? Yes, it is. It is true, Ellen. I love the idea that the stuckedness, and again, I want to say there's actually no standing still. Like there's no, you know, whatever they say, there's no crying in baseball. There's no standing still in this life. There just isn't. You can create the illusion of standing still but what you're actually doing is actually just recreating the same thing over and over again, but you are actually creating it. You are in the process of creating it. But what I like about the phrase stuck, that you get stuck, is that, like, yes, I've done this in my own life, and like you said, and seen it in others and worked with others that are stuck in certain areas. And we all know people who have married the same man over and over or date the same guy over and over again. The guy has a different name and he looks different, but he's the same guy. And we all know someone who's dated the same woman. It's like, oh, that's the same relationship. It's the same thing. You keep manifesting it in slightly different forms. Or the person who will come across $50,000, but because their conscious belief about themselves doesn't include a bank account that has $50,000, it's a bank account that has $5,000, that bank account will go back to $5,000, because they will recreate the pattern where they're stuck. And the thing about gratitude that I want to add in this segment is that getting into the practice of it, and I think one of the reasons why, and I make a list. I mean, honestly, I'm right now at a place on that list where it's one thing a day, and I'll tell you why, because I don't want to repeat myself, because I want to stretch. I want to keep going. So when I say things like I'm actually grateful for my refrigerator magnets, I do. I like them. it sounds crazy. And was that at the top of my gratitude list? Absolutely not. We are way into it at this point. And instead of adding three things today, I'm at a place where I just sit down for a minute or so and think about something that I can scan the list quickly and go, okay, I'm not repeating myself here, or I'm at least in a different way. Instead of being grateful for, say, my stepmother, I'm grateful that my stepmother, you know, remembered my birthday this year. So that's slightly different. It's a new thing to add. And I do make a list because I do think it's a practice, and it changes and it locks us into a higher vibration. And it allows this thing that is, it allows the grace, this energy and this grace to move in so that the pattern can become unstuck. And I know that we're going to talk about patterns on a different show, but it allows us to move through the pattern and break through it. And there's still patterns in my life that I'm stuck on and other ones that I have unstuck. I've unstuck not only my pattern, but it's actually the pattern of family history, and it goes on, that has become unstuck. And it's because one of the first practices in that particular pattern in my family and myself that I'm thinking of, that had to do with addiction. One of the very first practices that I learned was gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
Gratitude.
That's so important.
In the event, I mean, there was a certain rhythm to the first few months of not using drugs, and that included gratitude every day,
mm-hmm.
specifically. And it's so important because it allows us to become unstuck.
Yeah.
So important, Ellen.
Yeah.
So important.
It's like whatever it is that dissolves super glue. That's what gratitude does. It keeps us unstuck moving, or at least we experience it that way, even though I agree we're not stuck. But we can repeat the patterns and we can get unstuck by simply giving thanks. Okay, we do need to take a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to talk more about this, of course, but we're going to take the next caller. So, caller, please be patient. We will be with you in just a minute. Thank you, everyone. You are listening to Identity Theft of the Self. Did you know that you can easily get a hold of John Warren? Yes, you can. Go right to my site, ellenhartwell.com, and you'll find him there. Click on his very own page and have a good little chuckle because it's a funny page, and I'm not telling you. You have to go look at it. Anyway, John is not only a very, very talented psychic and will give you a phenomenal reading. He's also, as you know from listening to our show, extremely talented in helping you to manifest the reality you desire. He'll help you uncover patterns that are holding you back. He'll give you the skills, the affirmations, the guidance, so that when you look at your life, you'll say, I'm so glad I called John Warren. Thank you, God. Thank you, John. So get in touch with him today at ellenhartwell.com. It is so true. John is amazing at this stuff. Give him a call. Go to my website, ellenhartwell.com. There he is. And it's a funny page. So we're going to take this next caller, but you are listening to Identity Theft of the Self. And here we are. And, John, let's take our caller who has been patiently waiting. Okay?
Good.
Okay.
Good.
Thank you for joining us here on Identity Theft of the Self. May I have your name, please?
Hi,
hello,
this is Laura.
Oh, hi, Laura. How are you?
I'm good. How are you today?
I'm great, thanks. Do you have a question or comment?
Well, I love listening to you, too. It's very inspiring, and I have so much faith and gratitude daily. It's very inspiring.
Thank you,
Laura.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, you're so welcome. But I do have some concerns on what's going on with the world today. Do you have any insight on that? On with ISIS?
You mean like terrorist attacks and all that? Well, how do we put that into religious science and not come out like a hamburger?
Well, Laura, can I ask you, can I unpack this a little bit? When you say concern about insight about what's happening in the world today, are you, my question is for you, I just want to unpack a little bit, what are you concerned about? And I don't mean that as if it's not happening, because it's happening, you know, on our planet and in our world, it is happening to us, what's happening,
uh-huh.
But when you say, what prompted the question? I'm curious about that, because that'll help us to sort of, or help me at least, to sort of answer your question in an honest way. I don't want to give you a broad global reason. Well, guess what? There are manifestations of darkness all over the place, and this is absolutely one of them, without a doubt. So I want to zero in on what's bugging you about this specifically, and I don't mean to talk down to that. I just want to put it to you and ask you that. that make sense?
No, you know what? That's a really great way of putting it, because that is exactly how I'm feeling. And I feel like it's spreading, and I just don't know. I kind of feel, as a single mom, I kind of feel a little helpless, yet I'm trying to overcome the fear of what to be, and I just wanted some insight on what your views were and what to expect, if there's anything.
Laura, the fear of what? You mean fear of ISIS spreading, fear of civil war here? What are you most frightened about?
Just them invading our space here and our way of life changing here in America.
Ellen, excuse me, Laura. I understand what you're saying. I mean, I want to say that this is an expression. I mean, what's happening, and I'm glad you brought it up. And it's interesting to talk about it in the week when we are going to focus our consciousness on gratitude. And this is, this week it's the American holiday. It's a very American. Are you in the United States? When you say here,
I'm in
California.
States?
Yes. Okay, good. With me. You're probably in the house next door, I bet. But
she is, and she's watching you with binoculars.
She's watching. I was trying to make no noise and pouring my new cup of coffee. But there's two ways to put this. One is for you individually what I want to say to you is that you keeping your mind and in your area, your part of the world, which you said single, you're a single mom, so you in your household and in your mental space and your emotional space and in your heart, keeping it clean and elevated on the highest level, whatever your spiritual belief is, the highest level, that stuff goes out of your consciousness. And it will not demonstrate, it will not manifest in your life. And the second, if that makes sense, in other words, you acting from what is the opposite of terrorism? The opposite of terrorism is serenity and security and being at peace. So the more that I individually and you individually practice serenity and security and being at peace and at one with whatever it is that you believe in, the faith that you talk about, the connection to, the more your life, everything around your life will include the outpicturing of those things, which it sounds like much of your life does already.
Mm-hmm.
Continue that. I want to say that on an individual level, that's what we all need to practice individually, that is true. Excuse me. And I would say to guess individually too, and I don't know how much, because I got hooked into it. I'm going to be honest with you, Laura. I got hooked into this story a little too much, and I had to say, wait, stop. I am no longer actually looking at the world because I'm a member, a person on the planet. I'm actually hooked into the drama, to the darkness of it. I'm watching too much news. I'm boiled it down to that. I watch too much news. It's really limit the intake of information. If it's changing your outlook, if it's impinging on your faith, then it's crossed a line. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense, and that's why I'm reaching out.
If you can observe it, and say, I am a person who is concerned about the world, and so I want to know what's going on, whether that's 5 minutes a day or 30 minutes a day or 1 minute a day, just looking at headlines, that's great. And it doesn't impinge on your faith and your connection to the God of your understanding, then you're fine. You're within safety. So that's you. On a big picture sense, we individually keep practicing. I don't know exactly what's going to happen with this. My sense is, as an intuitive and as a person who practices, is that we are at we're at a scary place, and the more people are conscious of it, the more it will recede. Do I think it's going to happen in the United States? I'm just being honest with you. No, I don't. Which isn't to say we are going to be totally immune, but it's not. The United States is not suddenly going to become the Middle East, I guess, is what I want to say to you. We are safe and secure in our persons individually. That's the practice, no matter what. Does that make sense, Laura?
Makes total sense. And where I have the struggles is in my line of business as an appraiser. I have to monitor the news because it changes the market. You know, I have to monitor the market and stuff like that. So it does get in there, you know, especially with current events. And it just, I feel, being kind of intuitive, not like you, but myself, you know, I kind of felt something really tragic was going to happen. And it did in Paris, France. But,
Yeah.
I just needed a little bit of support because sometimes it just breaks down the the barriers a little bit sometimes.
Well, of course it does. One of the things that I would say to you, Laura, is, yeah, I know you have to be up on the news and watch what's going on. Always listen to more than one news source. You know, is it all drama? Is it all just this just being flooded with one horrible thing after another? Or is it reported and then there's a different story and so forth? Some of these news stations just don't drop it. Don't let it go. Don't, I mean, oh my God, until we can't breathe. So always take information from more than one source. That's number one. Number two, remember that outside, that's external, that is going on. We understand it's going on. We pray for our brothers and sisters and everybody here as well. Do I think that ISIS is going to take over the United States? I do not. Do I think there may be isolated, or it have been and will be, some isolated events? Yes. How do we stay safe? It's all within us. We think peace. We speak peace. We are peace. We must become peace within ourselves. We need to hear ourselves. Are we raging and ranting and carrying on and living in terror? Okay, that's not good. Let's create peace. So we gradually nudge ourselves into that trust in higher power that says, you know, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know that me and mine will keep our wits about us. We're not going to do dumb things, but we're also not going to live in terror. The other component to that, Laura, is when you get frightened, the smartest thing you can do, there are two things. One is to talk to somebody you trust and have them help you get a broader perspective. And the other thing, which really should have come first, is pray, meditate, whatever you believe. Because if you do it, and I do it, and John does it, guess what? God's a great multiplier. We're going to create peace, 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 peace if we keep at it. I don't think that you need to be afraid that we're entering Armageddon. It's certainly very interesting to look at Bible prophecy and compare it to what's happening right now. But don't forget, nobody knows. Jesus said he didn't even know when the end of the world was coming. So if he doesn't, neither do you, neither do I, and neither does anybody. But it does tell us clearly that this is a time to really get into some practice, some faith-based something, meditation, prayer, religious science, I don't care, but something that the focal point is, I am peace. I am peace. And we repeat it, and we live it, and we speak it, and it will spread. Like my favorite analogy is red wine on a white tablecloth. Is there an easy answer to this, Laura? No, there isn't, because there are many components to it. But to me, the answer is always prayer. The answer is always love. The answer is always peace.
Right? And I would say, because this is really interesting, I'm glad that you brought this up, because I just want to say another thing that I want to add is you have to do this for your work. I second everything that Ellen said. I mean, at the end of the day, but you're in California. I'm in California. Ellen's in Florida. We actually have this. Here's a rule of thumb. If you need to go to news sources because of your work, that if it has to do with you, meaning you've, I don't know where you are in California, but if you're in Southern California, you've had this experience. The earth shakes. We go, oh my goodness. We secure ourselves in whatever way we do. And then we go to television to watch a couple of wonderful scientists tell us what just happened at Caltech and in Los Angeles. And if it has to do with something that is close to us, like an earthquake or a fire, then I go visual and I watch TV. Because there is a different emotional component to this. If I'm just gleaning information because I need to be up on things that are happening in the world, I read it. I go online and I read it. Because it actually, exactly what Ellen said, there is an impulse to make it much more, to ratchet up the drama. So it's in Paris in this case. I will read about it now that I know sort of the basic components, and it will emotionally keep me at a place, at a level that I'm not wound up. I don't get wound up. Television winds us up. That's sort of its job in a way. Whereas if it's actually, you know, there's a wildfire near me, I'll turn on the TV to find out what's going on. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. No, I don't disagree with any of it. any of what you're saying. I'm very aware of the bigger picture of what's going on and what to believe and what not to believe, and do have multiple news sources, and that's for sure. But
right.
I feel a lot more at ease, getting a little bit more prepared, as more like just in case, because it is real, and I just was just reaching out, I guess.
Well,
and you're prepared, being prepared is a great thing. You know, I mean, especially if you're in an earthquake country, and you feel better. I mean, that's the whole point is your emotional level matches your vibration level, and if being prepared in a way that doesn't impinge on your faith, it doesn't cross over and have you lose your centeredness and your connection, then it's absolutely the right thing to do.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if I go on a boat out on the ocean, I am wearing a life preserver, and I'm an excellent swimmer. Common sense.
Mm-hmm.
Common sense. Does that mean that I don't believe in God? Of course not. But God gave me a brain, and He expects me to use it, or it, or she, or good Lord, the list. But you know, if I'm given common sense, and I am to use it. So if for you, preparing for something gives you that peace of mind, as long as you're also connected with God, then you're fine. You're fine. Go prepare your brains out. But give thanks that you can prepare. Give thanks that you don't live in Syria and have bombs dropping on your house.
No kidding.
Give thanks that you have the wherewithal to take care of yourself and to prepare and to provide for your child and all that. Give thanks as you prepare is my recipe. Yes.
I'm so grateful.
Oh, you rock, Laura.
You do rock. Thank you. You rock.
You rock.
Oh,
you're the
thank
best.
You.
Thank
oh, you guys
so
are
much
awesome.
For calling in, Laura. I appreciate
right,
it very much. Okay, have
so
a
God
great
bless
Thanksgiving.
Both of you, and
be
thank
grateful.
You so much for all your inspiration.
Oh, thanks.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you, and God bless you. So it's, you know, what a thought-provoking question. We are going to take a very quick break here. We thank Laura for calling in. And we will be right back here on Identity Theft of the Self. I know that on this show, Identity Theft of the Self, we reach a lot of people. And I'm just taking this opportunity to tell you about something very exciting. My son, David, is an amazing fisherman. It's his life, it's his passion, it's his joy. And he's quite well known in our community for being knowledgeable, ethical, very responsible, and reliable. He knows his stuff. So if you have any fishing questions, and I know some of you fish, so if you want to know what tackle to use, what bait to use, where the bite is, as they say, what fish are biting, you can get all kinds of information directly through my son by emailing me, EllenHartwell@Mac.com. That's EllenHartwell@Mac, M like Mary, A like Apple, C like Candy.com. And I will have David answer your questions for you. So ask 3 questions, and you'll get answered within 24 hours. Isn't that cool? My son is a gifted and talented fisherman and can tell you all about the fish in Florida and really anywhere, by the way, and all that you would possibly want to know about how to catch them. So have fishing questions? Hey, contact my son through me at Ellen Hartwell. EllenHartwell@Mac.com. Thank you so much. And there you have it. My son, the fisherman, amazing, amazing, talented young man. So as we move forward here on Identity Theft of the Self and the importance of gratitude, when we're in the presence of gratitude, we begin to feel something. We begin to feel, and everybody would feel it differently, but there's a thankfulness that starts to bubble up. And in that thankfulness, we can look at what's going on in Paris, and we can look at the homeless on our streets here, or children going to bed hungry, and much worse. And I don't want to talk about it, because then I'll just have to work too hard to get back to my joy. But as we feel that thankfulness, we can truly understand that we don't get it. And in I don't get it, man's inhumanity to man and animals, for shorthand, I don't get that. I don't understand it, and I don't have to, but I am accountable. for the power given to me to create my own reality. So the authentic self that is unencumbered by all of that stuff can create peace, can create a sense of gratitude that begins to go global. And I've seen it so many times, giving thanks for something that looked really bad. And guess what? It begins to transform into something where I can see the good. Even if I don't understand it, I can see the good. Let's back up the tape to 9/11 here in the United States. Horrible, horrible, tragic event for all concerned. And what was the good in that? Come on, Ellen, there's no good in that. Oh, I think a lot of good came out of it. And one of the things that we can look to is, granted, only for a brief period of time, but we had a sense of, you are my brother, you are my sister. Strangers were speaking to each other on the street. Neighbors were closer, more talkative. The churches were overflowing out the back doors. I mean, we had a brief moment of, yeah, we are all one thing and we need to pay attention to each other. Did it last? No, sadly, no. But we had that, so I can be thankful for that. Yes, John?
Yeah, in retrospect, Ellen, I'm going to be honest with you. I have a hard time with things like this. And I think it's dangerous. I think, I'm going to be honest with you, I agree that in retrospect, that we need to be in the practice of finding things to be grateful for in dark moments. I can't be grateful right now for ISIS. I can't see that, and I'm not going to pretend that I do. I have enough life experience to know that bad things happen, and in retrospect, I can be grateful for that. I can look back on it with a sense of, okay, that shifted and that changed after that. And I agree with you. Things did shift and change after 9/11. I think the practice of gratitude, though, this is an important thing. The practice of gratitude for all things, even if I'm not feeling it, if I'm fake it till I make it, is that we create an environment where 9/11 stops happening. And that's the thing that is important for me at this point. In other words, I can see in retrospect, I now want to live and demonstrate and manifest a world where we do not have to have thousands of people die in order to feel community. And so I am in community now, period, and I'm grateful for it now, period. Yes, I look back and I think that happens. And that's what I mean is that even if the homelessness or kids who go to bed hungry, worrying about it or pretending that it's something that's not actually – if we stay in gratitude where we are, it stops it from continuing. It breaks the pattern. What we want to do is not look and worry about homelessness. We want to say, we want to be in a place where we are vibrating on a level where the world actually just walks away from homelessness, where the person who is homeless changes their consciousness, where the terrorist changes their consciousness. I mean, does that make sense? In other words, if I'm practicing gratitude, let me tell you something. If 5% of the planet practiced 5 minutes of gratitude today, right now, there wouldn't be another 9/11 because it cannot exist in the same space as a grateful world. Does that make sense, Ellen?
In
other words, I can look back on bad things and happen and be gratitude and be grateful for the fact that they shifted my consciousness but the goal here is for me is to not have those things happen anymore. And so I want to be in a place where I am practicing gratitude in a way that is so consistent and so ongoing, and so is my neighbor and so is everyone else that I know, that the world doesn't actually, there's no room in this world for people to fly planes into buildings. And there's no need, because it happens after earthquakes all the time. You suddenly in Los Angeles know your neighbor and you're grateful. So you can look back and be grateful. I want to, natural disasters slightly different, but I want to live in a world that doesn't need to remind itself to be in community, to remind itself to be kind, that we're just in that place all the time. Therefore, there can be no terrorists there because it wouldn't occur to anybody. It wouldn't occur to me. I want to live in a world where it doesn't occur to people to go into mass murder mode. Does that make sense?
The light came into the world and the darkness knew it not.
I always say, does that make sense? I mean, what am I worried about? I don't know. Of course it makes sense. It makes sense to me.
Well, you know, when we're grateful, we're bringing in more and more light. And so it's the component is gratitude. And if we're in the now, right now, we can be grateful. If we don't look at the past and we don't worry about the future and we stay right now, you can start listing all kinds of things you're grateful for. And in that now, we can change not only our lives, but globally race mind consciousness. So as we do that, it's an important practice, because being thankful, not just when we're eating turkey with our loved ones or alone or whatever it is we're doing, but not just then, but as many moments in a day as we can remember. And if you ask God to remind you, God will, to be thankful more and more moments every day, so that we don't have to be grateful in hindsight or in foresight.
Yep.
We're grateful right this moment, and we can find that grateful attitude regardless of external circumstances, but because it is a part of our authentic self. Nobody can steal it. Nobody gets any identity theft going on. And people say, well, how can you be happy and peaceful when the world is, you know, blowing up around you? Well, it's not I don't have concerns. I'm human. I do. But I can say I have a deep and abiding gratitude that grace allows me to have, that says, right here, I am grateful for. And it protects us, it guides us, and it brings us into an accountability for our thoughts and our feelings, not in a police kind of way, but just, oh, wait a minute, what was I thinking? I can be grateful for this right now. Does that make sense, John? And we have 4 minutes.
Okay. I then I'll be really quick. Yes, it does. How much time do I have left?
You have exactly
3 minutes
and 25 seconds.
Yeah, absolutely. The upshot is too, is you know, also all of this other stuff, I'm going to get round this back around to what I started with, is it also just feels good. I mean, honestly, it just feels good. And I want to get on this, because this is something that's important to me in my life, because I come from a kind of bleeding heart tradition. And I said it last week, and I'll say it again. Actually, helping the homeless is great. If you are helping the homeless and you think that they are victims while you're helping them, you are making it worse. If you are helping someone who is homeless, or you know, a food bank, or whatever it is that we do around the holidays, with a sense of joy and gratitude, and you see the people across from you as equals on this journey at this moment, And you believe and you know in your heart that they're helping you as much as you're helping them, even though you're the one who's serving the hot meal, but they are helping you as much as you are helping them, then the pattern is being broken. Then the vibration is going higher. So I am grateful in the sense for that, because that's really important. I think it's really important that we break these patterns and we stop seeing things as greater or lesser than. And that's the other thing that gratitude gives me. It allows an equilibrium and an equanimity for the world that I live in. I promise you, nobody would be blowing up Paris. None of those kids would have done any of that stuff if they wrote gratitude lists. I mean, that sounds crazy and simplistic, but it's true.
I agree with you.
It's absolutely true. And breaking those patterns, one of the things that gratitude can do is it changes the world that we see, even. It changes what we see in front of us, being in a place. And, you know, I know there's a minute and a half left, and I'll just wind up by saying, Ellen, is that if you don't have this as a physical practice, start it as a practice. You don't have to do it forever. I continue to make my list because it sets me down at a desk and I just write one thing. But if you haven't done it, start a list. Start with 3 things today. Put my cat, canned peas because I like them, or whatever, the sun.
Ew.
And then come back tomorrow and write 3 more things. And see how the world starts to change. Your world will begin to change.
Canned
you will
peas,
get information.
John?
Okay, I'm going to be important here. Your world will begin to change. Yes, if you're grateful, if you like canned peas, you should put it on your gratitude list. I happen to like canned peas, so hush.
Well, you're allowed to. And
you're and they're very low calorie. They're
yes.
tasty and low calorie.
I'm happy for you, sweetie. Well, I am grateful for you, and it is true. It's a practice. All of this stuff is a practice. None of us have it all figured out. But practice, practice, practice. Know that we appreciate you, listeners. Thank you, Laura, for calling in. Real quick, John, she sent me an email and thinks you're awesome. So, yay.
Oh, thanks.
And
yeah, I think she's awesome.
Well, I think you're awesome, and she thinks we're okay. Anyway.
This is working my nerve now. Let's cut it off.
Thank you so much, everyone, for listening, and a blessed and happy Thanksgiving to all. Thank you, John. We'll be on next Saturday, so tune in next week for Identity Theft of the Self. Bye.
Bye.